Thank you for standing by. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Throughout the conference, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. You may press star one at that time to ask your question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host, Amy Fricke.
Thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the UN Technical Assistance Conference Call. And thank you for your attendance today. We have with us today from the Collaborative, Dr. Todd Kasdan, Kelly Canestrary, Pat Palmer, and Aisa Bell. From DMH, we have Ms. Leanne Reinert. There are a few announcements to be made. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Leanne Reinert.
Thanks, Amy. Good afternoon, everyone. I just have a couple of quick announcements before we get to your questions. As you know, we are nearing the end of the state's fiscal year, which will be next month, and we've been holding these conference calls every other month during the fiscal year, so this is the last scheduled call for the fiscal year. What I would ask you to do is to provide some feedback to your regional contract managers about your impression of the benefit of continuing these calls into the next fiscal year. It is that time of year where we're starting to look at our contractual relationships and what we need to do related to those. So if you could provide that feedback, it would be helpful to us as we determine the need to continue these calls as well as a frequency that we would need to continue these calls. We started them, as you're probably aware, to assist providers as we implemented new utilization management strategies. Our latest ones have been going on for a year now, almost. So I believe adjustments have been made related to that, but if we do need to continue these calls, then we need to get that feedback from all of you. So that's the first thing. The second thing, also related to the end of the fiscal year, I know we're starting to get questions about what the thresholds for utilization management will be for FY13. There will not be any changes to the thresholds for the services that we currently require authorization on once those thresholds are reached. So those will stay the same for fiscal year 13. And as in fiscal year 12, the benefit amounts will reset to zero at July 1. So you will not need to seek authorization for services until an individual has reached their threshold limit for services needing to be authorized. That's just as it was in FY12. That is all the announcements that I have, Sherry. So if you would remind folks how to ask a question, we can go to the question and answer session at this time.
Thank you. To ask a question, press star 1. The system will prompt you to record your name. To withdraw, press star 2. Once again, to ask your question, press star 1. Our first question comes from Barbara Timberlake. Barbara.
Yes, just a minute, please. We were wondering, the SAS services were counting towards the therapies. So we were wondering if that had been fixed yet, or do you advise us getting authorizations even though they hadn't met their cap yet on the therapies? And is there been any thing with when we register a client, the Medicaid registration isn't making it over to HFS, and we were wondering if there's been any changes in that area?
Okay. I know that I made our MIS people aware of the issue with the SAS services going into the same accumulator file. I know they were addressing it. I don't know if the solution has been achieved yet. I don't know, Pat, or anyone from the collaborative, if you know the answer to that question.
No, I don't, Leanne. I wish I did, but I don't know.
Okay. What I'm going to do while we're still on the call is I'm going to try to shoot an email to Dr. Mary Smith because she's our IT lead, and I'll see if I can get an answer to that. And as far as the Medicaid registration, do we have an answer for that, Pat?
Sorry, Leanne, could you repeat that?
Barbara, can you repeat your Medicaid registration question so that we can see if Pat and the collaborative has an answer to it?
Sure. When we're registering clients and then we submit services, sometimes they're paying as non-Medicaid even though they're a Medicaid client. I call, we're being told the Medicaid registration didn't come over with it. So I was wondering if there was any solutions made there yet because it's been going on for a while or what was going on.
This is Callie. If you have Medicaid but it's not reflecting on our system, what you need to do is send us the documentation that proves it, and then I'll have to send it to someone in VO and we'll look at it.
When I go to the VO website, I see a Medicaid registration that has not termed.
Okay, and you're saying that HFS says is not registered?
Right. They're registered as a non-Medicaid client, not a Medicaid client.
Yeah. If we got it on our system, then you're there. What happens with HFS, to me, we don't have that information.
Okay, so we just got to continue to just keep calling and figuring out how to get them to get a Medicaid registration to HFS?
Yeah, we do have someone we can sort of like, you know, troubleshoot through, and we can send that information to him.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
To ask a question, press star 1. Laura Gibbs, your line is open.
I am calling from Pillars, and I have a question regarding a client who they started out the first month of the fiscal year, they were Medicaid, and then they got one of the ICP plans, but just now she became eligible for Medicare, so she went back to Medicare Medicaid. So does she still have the same number of units she started, like she used a few units in July before she switched to the Aetna Better Health Plan? So do we just pick up where she left off with that her threshold amounts?
Yes, because the utilization management program through DMH that the collaborative administers is for services when they're funded by DMH. So if you have already provided, for instance, some therapy counseling to her in the month of July 2012, or 2011, then however many units you provided in July 2011 would accumulate and in our accumulator, and then any additional services that you're now providing that DMH Medicaid is funding will also go into that same accumulator. So when you get to the 10 hours of therapy, then you would need to get authorization if you wanted to be reimbursed by DMH for additional hours during this fiscal year, so before June 30th.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
To ask a question, press star 1. One moment, please.
Jerry, this is Amy. Can you please let me know who the Barbara Timberlake, what agency was she from?
Robert Young Center.
Thank you very much.
Linda Brugman from Newman Family Services, you may ask your question.
Thank you. We have had a couple of audits recently, and one of those, well, actually on both cases, the original approval letter that we had received had dates of service, say, March 7th through June 30th, and when the audit was, we received a letter for one of them that there was going to be an audit. We submitted additional documentation. And when we got the letter saying that the audit had been finalized and it was approved, the dates of service had been changed from March 7th to June 30th to now May 21st to June 30th. Pretty significant change. We'd never had that happen before, that after an audit, the collaborative changed the dates that had originally been approved by the collaborative. So I'm just trying to understand if that was just an error in data entry on the part of whoever was doing the audit, that they accidentally entered the date they finalized it as opposed to the date that was originally approved.
This is Callie. If you'll look at the original, it'll stop the day before the new audit date. If you look at it, it's the same dates of service. But whenever we do a new thing to the particular review, we have to note the date. It's really the same, but it's like broken up into two pieces.
Okay, I will pull it up.
It's the same amount of time.
Okay, so it still should go back to the original March 7th date.
Exactly. If you'll see, it'll say March 7th to whenever, when was the start date of the new one?
5/21.
Okay, it should say March 7th to 5/20. And
okay.
Then it should pick up again from 5/21 to 6/30.
All right, I'm trying to get in there right now just to see if I can confirm that, because I had received an email from our UM person who was working off-site today, and he had just emailed me saying, you know, on the call, can you ask about this, so I don't actually have it up in front of me. We also had a second one that was a little bit confusing in that we received a letter confirming that the audit had been upheld for someone, but we had never received a letter telling us that they were being audited, nor had we submitted any documentation for the audit, having not been informed there was one. And again, in that case, the dates also seem to have been changed, although I will go in and see if that is, if he was just misreading it when he looked at it. So is that, Linda, let us call you offline on that. Okay. That would be great.
And we can, you know, we can both look at it on the screen at the same time.
Sure, that would be really helpful.
Sure.
Let me give you my number.
Okay.
773-506-3201.
Okay, we'll give you a buzz back.
All right, thank you.
Jody, your line is open.
Thank you. My question is, and I apologize, I came in a few minutes late if you've already answered this, but as effective July 1st, if I'm doing reauthorizations for PSR, it goes back to zero July 1st and they get 200 hours again for PSR and CSG combined, is that correct?
At the top of the call, I did explain that, the beginning of the fiscal year, all of the accumulator files will be reset to zero, so each individual person's thresholds will not be met until, whatever the service-specific threshold is.
Okay.
They're not changing for FY13.
Okay, I apologize for the repeat on the call.
Oh, that's fine.
I do have one more question, if that's okay.
Uh-huh.
We have we do community support group where we use a service code. However, residential, when they go out in the community and they do groups, they also are doing community support group, but it's under a different reporting unit.
Right.
When we are asking for a reauthorization, are we asking for both, or do they have to track theirs and we have to track ours, or do they look at it as one?
At this point, because of the way that the service is defined, community support residential is a service,
right,
and community support group is a service. And as you said, they have different service codes, so it's not like a a different modifier for the same service. So the only thing that the utilization management program applies to at this point is the service community support group. It doesn't apply to community support residential, regardless of whether you do it individually or in group.
Okay, so as long as the reporting unit is different, if the service code is the same, then that's okay?
Right.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
To ask a question, press star 1. I have no questions in queue.
Okay, we'll wait a few minutes to allow for a question to come up. While we are waiting for a question, I would like to make a correction. At the beginning of the call, I stated that Kelly Canestrary was on the call with us. My apologies for that. It was Callie Lacey.
If we have no more calls, this is Leanne again. Barbara from Robert Young Center. I have not heard back yet from Dr. Mary Smith, so I will, once I get an answer from her, if you can call back into to the line and give me your phone number, then I can call you back and let you know what Mary says about the SAS services issue.
I can open Barbara's line if you would like.
Thank you.
I think you have to do star 1 again.
Barbara, your line is open.
Hi. Yes, the phone number to call back on would be 309-779-2080.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I have no questions in queue.
Okay, would you like to wait a little while longer, Leanne?
No, I think people have had a chance to ask their questions.
All right. If there are no more questions in the queue, then that will conclude our call for today. I would like to remind the audience that today's call audio will be posted under the Provider Resources heading on the Provider Information page of the Collaborative's website. Will be in MP3 format and available for download within 2 to 3 business days. Sherry, you may now push the speakers through to post-conference and connect and disconnect the main line. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.